Hi there, boys and girls. This is Jello Biafra, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM. Why?
I've actually recently been in dialogue with some people in their 20s who were homeschooled as teenagers, and some of them wanted to try school when they were teenagers, and their parents let them, and they just tried it and realized, oh, okay, this is what all the fuss is about, and I think I'll get out again. And now they feel great about having homeschooled.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Grace Llewellyn, and I wrote a book called The Teenage Liberation Handbook, How to Quit School and Get a Real Life in Education. And I run a summer camp for homeschooled teenagers, and I've done some other writing, a few other books, and I've done some other work with homeschoolers, especially teenagers.
Okay, what's the attraction, what's the interest with teenagers in particular?
For me personally, it's probably just that when I was a teenager, that was a really important transformative time for me. And so I chose to go on and teach school with teenagers. And so then when I got out and started working with homeschoolers, it was just a logical continuation of that for me. I think that a lot of people, when they are teenagers, are just really, it's kind of the first time they're really looking around and thinking about defining themselves as human beings, and so it's a very powerful time, and I felt drawn to work with kids at that stage.
What do you think that teenagers need that society just isn't providing?
Well, a lot of things. One is an opportunity to be involved in a meaningful way, to contribute something to society, not to just be passive recipients of education. And I think that they also need a little more visionary leadership from adults in terms of helping them see what some of their options would be, and just more support in really developing skills and working toward their own goals. You know, I guess I see it as it is now, that there's a lot of pressure put on them, but it's not necessarily in the interest of goals that are really meaningful for them.
In the case of homeschoolers, homeschooling kids, often when they reach 14, they want to go to school. And I'm just trying to think, okay, what's going on?
I think it really is about having a meaningful alternative. And it's kind of trite, but I think it's true that when kids become teenagers, it's very important to them to have a peer group. And sometimes if they don't see ways that that's possible outside of school, then they want to go to school for that reason. It really seems, with a lot of the kids that I know who have done that, that that's been the main motivation. That's one of the reasons I started my camp, because even though the kids come from all over, so they're not going home then to a community of people, you know, it's not providing them with friends near them geographically. It still helps them have that sense of having a connection to other teenagers who are out of school. The culture is just so strong about, you know, we go to school, that's what we do. And a lot of teenagers start to wonder, if they've never been in school, what is this thing that I'm missing out on? Would I really measure up if I was in it? Is it okay that I'm out of school? I think a lot of kids want to just try it out. And I've actually recently been in dialogue with some people in their 20s who were homeschooled as teenagers. And some of them wanted to try school when they were teenagers, and their parents let them. And they just tried it and realized, oh, okay, this is what all the fuss is about, and I think I'll get out again. And now they feel great about having homeschooled. And two kids, well, they're not kids, they're in their late 20s, that I've recently been talking with, their parents didn't let them try school, and they still to this day wonder, you know, well, what would it have been like? And so I think for some kids there's really a need to prove themselves, to check out what is this thing that everybody else in our society does, and just there's curiosity, there's wondering what they're missing out on, and for a lot of them, that runs its course if they're allowed to explore it. I imagine that it's really about drawing out a teenager, really helping the teenager to articulate some goals and visions, and then to find ways to support that person in growing in those ways. And for some kids, that's going to mean letting them go away to do something for a while, and that can be scary for parents. I don't think it has to mean that, but it's definitely a transition time. And families who kind of try to keep doing it the way they did it when the kids were younger often run into, you know, resistance, because it's a time of transformation. And depending on what the relationships are like, sometimes I think it really helps to bring in a third party, another adult who both the parents and the teenager respect or feel comfortable with, and let that person help draw out the teenager and help that teenager form some ideas about what their direction should be in life, and then help brainstorm ways to support the kid in realizing some of that. But I think it helps to have some really intentional leadership on the part of parents or other adults, not in the sense of like, okay, this is what you're going to do now, but okay, you're older now and it's a new time in your life, and I want to really support you in setting some new intentions and articulating some goals. How can I best support you in that? Taking leadership in that way. I had no idea that my first book, The Teenage Liberation Handbook, would have anywhere near as much impact as it had. When I just finished writing it and it wasn't printed yet, I was talking with my brothers and I said, oh, it would be so great if just, you know, if one person reads this book and it has a really big impact on them. And could you imagine if you know, people actually read this book and got out of school? And one of my brothers, who thought it was a great book, said, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. It won't happen, of course, because it's just too radical. But, yeah, it's a nice thought. And it was just important for me to write it. It felt like what was true for me and what I was sort of called to do at the time. So then to be met with a really positive response was great and amazing. And I still get a lot of response, and it seems to continue to impact people's lives, and I feel really fortunate just to have been in that position to be able to do that. And my second book, Real Lives, has also been pretty impactful. It hasn't sold nearly as many copies, maybe 10%, but I think I didn't actually write it. It's a collection of essays by teenagers who were homeschooling, and I think it's really important because these kids telling their own stories in some depth, and I think it really helps to demystify for people who aren't familiar with what can go on. It helps give a really rich sense of some of the different possibilities. So I would like more people to get their hands on that book, because it hasn't been as widely circulated.
So would you call your approach to living and learning, if you had to define it, would you call it anarchistic almost?
Anarchistic?
Yeah.
10 years ago I probably would have, but no, I don't think I would use that term now. I'm not sure what term I would use. Do you mean how I would define my...
Your pursuits, your kind of, your approach to the way we learn and we live.
I would call it natural, like, you know, looking for what's natural in a human being and even in creating a healthy society. I would call it creative in the sense that, like, I don't know if you're familiar with a book called Cultural Creatives, but it's kind of a hot book in this country in the last few years, and it kind of makes the point that we often tend to think in terms of classes, like there are the professional class, there's the working class, But there's a sort of separate class, the creative class, that's kind of shaping some new directions. So that really doesn't think in terms of conforming or fitting into society as it's already established, but rather thinks in terms of how can I live my life, or how can I learn in such a way that maybe I'm pioneering new ground and creating a new society. So in that sense, I would call it creative, call it natural in the sense of wanting to support a really natural way of learning and developing. I mean, I could use the term anarchistic in the sense that it's so much about leadership from the ground up, you know, from individual people discovering what's right for them and following their own path rather than top-down, rather than a system dictating how we should live our lives and how we should learn. I would love to see us as a society not thinking in terms of education, but rather thinking in terms of life. I would love to see a very broad spectrum. I would love to see all of the fruits and vegetables in the grocery store be grown organically. I think that we tend to see things in boxes and categories that really don't belong in boxes and categories. When people say education, I like to say, well, if you substitute the term life for education, or every time you say the word education, substitute the term life. Every time you say learning, substitute the term life, and see how that makes you look at things differently. So in terms of our society, I would just love to see us think less in terms of categories. Like, over here we have health, over here we have learning, over here we have work. I would love to see a less institutional society and a more integrated society.
I know also that you have written a book on, I haven't actually read it, but the African-American dimension. I just thought maybe we can talk a little bit about that too.
That book hasn't sold many copies, and I feel sad about that because the response that it has gotten has been very positive. For one thing, I wish that more homeschoolers in general would read that book, because I think it's good for us all to be aware of ways that we can be more welcoming and understand more what is true for subgroups of the homeschooling community. Yeah, I think in the African American community, there's traditionally, you know, there's such a high value placed on education, and that translates to schooling. So I would just love to see more African Americans reading the book, even if they ultimately chose to stay within the system. I would just love to see more dialogue on that issue. People seem to be way less interested in that book than in my other books, but I think it's a really important book, and I really, really enjoyed working with the writers on it. So it was a fun one for me to do.
There was one thing I really wanted to know more about, was the Not Back to School camp. How did you get the idea to do that?
Well, it was kind of a circuitous path. I taught school for 3 years before I wrote the Teenage Liberation Handbook, and although I had a lot of difficulty with, you know, being in a school, I really loved working with teenagers, and so I missed that a lot after I quit. And for a while, I felt satisfied by the correspondence I had with teenagers after they started writing to me, after they read my book. But pretty soon, I was thinking, oh, but I never work with kids one-on-one anymore. So I opened a resource center here in Eugene, Oregon, for homeschoolers, and mostly for teenaged homeschoolers, with the thought that then I would get the pleasure of working with kids in person again. And that had its ups and its downs. It never really got off the ground, but in some ways I really enjoyed it. And then the other thing was that I was traveling a bunch at the time and speaking at different homeschooling conferences, and I would meet these groups of kids, and I would meet, like, some kid in Minnesota and talk about taking a bicycle trip across several states. And then I would be in California, and I'd meet a girl who just built her own bike, and I would think, oh, I wish those two kids could meet each other. So I think it was a combination of, for me personally, wanting to have more contact with these kids and to not get too abstract in my head about what was true. I wanted to have flesh and blood contact with these kids, and then I thought it would be great for them to get to meet each other more. And it's been really fun. I really love doing it. It's a lot of work, kind of crazy. It takes a lot of work every year to get ready, but it's really rewarding for me, and I think it's very inspiring for the kids, particularly to meet each other.
July was always his favorite holiday. When he was blowing things up, growing up seemed like it was okay. His mom would say, son, be careful with that gun, and he'd say, okay. And then rush off into the vicious world where his violence held sway. His sister's boats would be on a cruise till they heard that sizzling fuse. And then the firecracker kid burst onto the scene, quoting But patriotism is the furthest thing from his little mind. As well as the pictures he's seen of kids who'd been maimed and blinded. His 10 nimble fingers seem like they were perfectly well designed for carrying out the cruel tasks that his mind had assigned. Tie a rocket to a toad just to watch its head explode. Oh God, the firecracker kid, he's out of control. He turned the red robin's nest into a sulfury hole. He frightens the turtles and tortures the gold. He says that anthill's gonna blow. Yeah, that anthill's gonna go. Gonna be great, he said. He had an M80 and he wasn't afraid to use it. Well, now the doctor said, son, be glad it's only one. It could be much worse. You could have lost the whole hand or even landed in a hearse. His days of harassing the insects of his backyard universe, well, they are over and done. Now his mom keeps his thumb in her purse. And when he's bad, she takes it out and waves the gruesome thing about. She says the firecracker kid should have done like I said, but all my advice it went disregarded. Maybe this'll put some sense in your head. Some sense in your head. 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 Sense in your head.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
So what are some of the things that the teenagers get to do?
It's very much a co-created week. So we invite everyone who comes to teach a workshop on something that they love. So probably about 60% of the campers will come and teach a workshop. During the daytime, we just have kind of workshop slots, and at any particular time, you can choose between 4 or 5 workshops. And could range from identifying wild plants, maybe wild edible plants, where we were there where we're camped, to math games, to beginning Japanese speaking, to making jewelry. It really just depends on what they're interested in. So that's a lot of fun, just for people to come and see what their peers are excited about. And then we have talent shows where kids get up and in the evenings and perform, and it ranges from, you know, professional musicians who have been touring for 3 years by the time they're 17, to kids who have just never, maybe they took their first tap dancing lesson 2 weeks ago, and so they're complete beginners. But everyone's received with great appreciation, and I think it's a very encouraging time for kids. They get very affirmed, very supportive. It's extremely supportive, and I love that about homeschoolers. They tend to be very, very warm. You know, they're not spending their time in an institution where they're competing with each other for grades or for popularity, and they just tend to be much more relaxed socially than school kids, and so they're really a pleasure to work with, and it's a pleasure to see them support each other and welcome each other, and new campers just get mobbed with hugs and welcomes was when they first arrive, and sort of went on about that, but it's really a lot of fun. Normally people are 13. Sometimes we'll take them younger when we know that their parents, and they, you know, understand what it's about. And it's sort of geared for homeschoolers, but we usually have a few kids every time who go to school, and for one reason or another, they like to come to our camp. So I think it's largely just about that supportive atmosphere. It's pretty different from most groups of teenagers.
By the way, have you heard of Matt Hearn's center in Vancouver?
I have. I've heard good things about it. When you're talking about what teenagers need, I actually had in the back of my mind a few similar things like that. I love it when centers like that are organized. I know of a few good ones here in this country, too. I think the most visionary person, well, there's a few people who have really done some great work in that way, and one is Brent Cameron, who's in Vancouver also. And I know he's probably worked pretty closely with Matt. He started an organization called Wonder Tree. He's brilliant, and his daughter's now in her 20s, but I think he probably wasn't the first person to think in terms of resource center for kids, but one of the first, and just went about it in a very visionary way. So I'm sure Matt has been influenced by him. And then there's actually a very cool program in Colorado. I'm on their board. It's a public school funded program, which is unusual in this country. It hooks up homeschoolers and dropouts and just basically any kids that for some reason haven't wanted to be in the regular school system, or it hasn't worked for them, or they're already homeschoolers or whatever. It hooks them up with mentors, basically, people who help them get connected with different people in the community. And the mentor also really helps them articulate their goals. It's a very supportive process, and yet there's really that adult leadership component. The adult really helps draw out of the kid what's important to you. Well, you know, then what would be the most meaningful thing for you to do with this year? Okay, now how can I support you in creating a plan? Now what adults in this community should we hook you up with? And it's a really great program. So there's some very visionary people there, too, although Brent Cameron is on their board also. Mm-hmm. Then there's another center in, I think it's in Massachusetts, and it's called Pathfinder. I think it's a really good one, too. It's run by a couple people who've just been very passionate about unschooling ideas for a long time. I think of those as kind of the most visionary ones, although there may be others that are equally good. And there are a lot of small organizations following in the footsteps. So I love that movement. I think it's great.
And in Oregon, what's the scene there, the unschooling scene?
Well, there's a lot of unschoolers here. There's also, this is a state where there are charter schools, which what that translates into is just that there are a lot of pretty radical alternatives within the public school system. So a lot of kids who I think would otherwise maybe be unschooling have some pretty good opportunities within the public school system. Like there are apprenticeship programs where they can learn to design, not just build, but really design bicycles and other technology. There's a really wide spectrum of possibilities here. A lot of kids will get out of high school and then just go straight into the community college here because it's pretty accustomed to taking teenagers, so sometimes they feel a little more empowered in that situation.
Where do you see your future work heading?
Well, I'm working on a book right now that feels important to me, and I think it may be that when I finish it, I think, okay, that's the end of this chapter in my life. This book is kind of a parallel to my first book. It's a book for teenagers. It's for teenagers who are in the school system and probably going to stay there for whatever reason. You know, maybe their parents don't support homeschooling. Maybe they're 17 years old and just imagine that at this point the best thing to do is just to continue until they're finished. For whatever reason, they're kids who are not going to get out of the system. And I feel like it's important to show them, okay, there you are. What are your choices right there? And so I'm working on that, and it's a pretty interesting process, and I think it'll take me a year from now. I've been working on it for a long time, but I'm pretty intensely engaged in it now, and I think it'll be another year. And then I don't know what I'm going to do. I know I'll keep running my camp, but other than that, I may take off in a whole new direction. I've been interested in counseling and learning about psychology. That's an interest of mine. I'm just not sure. I just turned 40, and it feels like a big transition. That's kind of why I'm going to India. I've always had this list of things that I want to do someday, and I'm about to turn 40. maybe I should put some of those things on my near future list instead of 50 years from now. Yeah.
Ready?
Myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.